to thank you for this opportunity.
Amen.
Of breaking the bread of life. Of drinking of the nectar. Of the honey that comes forth out of the rock. Father, I pray for the words that I use. I pray for the thoughts that are in my mind. I put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. I come and I put the blood upon the hearts and the minds of the people, my God, that you would anoint their ears to hear. Father, it is not so much in the words that are spoken, but it is in the spirit of life that is in the words that brings the development of God within our souls. We are thankful that we have this opportunity one more time. To gather together, together unto you. To gather together to break the bread of life and to hear the instructions that come from the throne. My God, we are so very thankful that we have this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I appreciated Brother Peter's opening remarks concerning some of the things that are going on in our judiciary as well as legislative field of operation as far as the United States is concerned. I don't know if many of us take the time to find or to read about them. I do not know that we are really even too much concerned about it, and that we think in some measure or in some manner that as life was today, life is going to be so tomorrow. But I have found that for the person that is observing, for the person that is listening in the spirit, they can be aware of the change no matter how subtle it has been. But the subtlety of the devil is not something he is too concerned about anymore. And he is being very blatant in some of the things that he is doing. And he's pressing very hard to bring us into his plan and his purposes. And I had asked early on that I would be able to share with you some of the things that the Lord has been sharing with me. And I realized that, you know, the first meeting sometimes sets the tenor of the service, and I believe that is something of the intent of God. But I also know that the first meeting is often the toughest meeting because we come in out of the world, we come in out of our business, we come in out of our scenes, and we're meeting people, and we are conversing and fellowshipping and having a good time, and we're really not thinking about God. Hallelujah. You know, I am finding that you can fast a couple of days before a meeting, but in the day before the meeting, you can lose it. Praise the Lord. So it takes a continual position of concentration. It takes a continual position of dedication if you and I want to be able to hear from God in this hour. I believe that God is talking to His church very openly and very plainly in this hour. Hallelujah. I believe that the things that we have known as far as peace and safety is concerned, a sense of assurance in the government under which we live, that has brought to us a certain measure of comfort and freedom. I believe personally that those liberties and those things have been and shall continue to be eroded and in the hour of great tribulation be taken away from us. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. I believe that we as a church are heading into what the Bible calls great tribulation. Yeah. Hallelujah. I believe it with all of my heart as I have traveled around the world outside of this arena of safety, outside of this net of safety that seems to be prevailing over the United States and that is fast eroding. I have had the privilege of being taken up in the Spirit and by the Spirit, and showed the operation of hell and what it is that the devil is doing. Now, you might not believe what I have to tell you. That is not my business. Hallelujah. All I can share with you is what God has given to me. And what I have seen scares me, because it highlights my position of lethargy. It highlights my position of laziness. It highlights my position of self-interest. And it highlights, most of all, my jeopardy concerning the position that I am in context with what it is that devil is doing. We seem to have forgotten that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. That means that any government and any land or any people or any nationality of people or ethnic origin of people outside of the blood of Jesus Christ is under the jurisdiction of this prince. He is moving the things of the earth for one purpose and to one destiny. And that destiny is called the conflagration. Brothers Peter, if I get it wrong, you'll correct me, right? Praise God. Yes. Amen. Of the ages. Praise the Lord. And it is also written in Revelations or in the book of Matthew as called the Great Tribulation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because it seems as though the devil is more aware of his shortness of time than we as God's people are aware of the shortness of the time or the jeopardy in which we are in. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there has been a word, hallelujah, that has been delivered to us as a people. Hallelujah. That is a word that is meant to meet the devil on his terms. Hallelujah. Not only is it meant that we are to meet the devil on his terms, but there is an authority that God is giving us as a church, hallelujah, to overcome that position of authority, that to overcome that position of opposition, and to overcome the intention and the intent of hell to destroy humanity. Hallelujah. The devil, knowing that he has no opportunity or chance to win over God, thinks that he can win over God by destroying the inhabitants of the earth as well as the earth in itself. Hallelujah. But the Word of God says that the earth shall abide forever. Praise the Lord. So there has to be something of a safety net that God has put in to the fact of humanity with regards to that declaration. Hallelujah. God made the declaration on the basis of his knowledge of a people that were going to come forth at the end of time. Hallelujah. When the Lord prophesied, hallelujah, that the earth would abide forever, he was not just saying an eternal, a natural earth moving in a natural arena of space is going to inhabit it forever. He was saying that there was a people that are going to come on the face of the earth that would have the power to stop the devil from eradicating that which God intended from the very beginning. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I don't know. You can either say, oh me, or amen. Praise the Lord. Because there are things that are happening in the world today that are validating the Word of God. Not only the written Word, but the spoken Word that has been spoken concerning the end of time. It was three, and it's, I think this conference is very apropos, because it was three conferences ago when I sat right back there in the back of the meeting and watched the spirit of deception begin to move over in the midst of the congregation and minister the word that sounded like the word that I call sonship. Hallelujah. It said all the right things, used all the right terminology. But one thing it did not do is to highlight the position or the place of suffering and death to self. Hallelujah. What it did is exalt you and I into a place of preeminence without thought or content of what it was going to be required concerning the position that God is giving to you and I. One thing that I am very much aware of is that the two witness company, which is indicative of the first fruits company, of the sons of God company, are a company of people that are ministering in sackcloth. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't think sackcloth is not uncomfortable, I suggest you go get some. Hallelujah. And put it on and wear it for a time. It is very uncomfortable. It makes your skin itch. It makes you, it's abrasive. It scrapes you. It causes rash. If you're allergic to the burlap or something that is in it, it will cause a rash sometimes to come out upon your skin. It is a very uncomfortable position or place to be in. You and I would not willingly live with sackcloth. Hallelujah. I don't notice any of you ladies buying burlap. Hallelujah. When you go shopping, huh? For your husbands or for yourself, for that matter. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you might buy it for your husband, but not for yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there is a word, and there is a thought that God is bringing. I sat right back there on that last sheet, and it scared me, you know. People that should have known better. People that should have been having a look of consternation, a look of concern upon their head. There was no concern. It was all amen, 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 amen. You know, you see these puppets in the back of somebody's car driving down the road and it's going like this. Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says that in the Bible, if it were possible, even the elect of God would be deceived. And we've taken that as a fail-safe mechanism to think to say that we cannot be deceived. But there is a qualification in that not being deceived. Because if you do not know God in the way that you and I are supposed to know God, and when we're not moving and walking and talking with God in that capacity, you will be deceived. And the thing that will deceive you is your revelation of the end time. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It says that the devil is coming as an angel of light. What light is he going to bring to the Holy Place Church? Huh? The devil has been in church business from day one. Hello? You're there? Come on. Huh? The church, the devil has been in church business from day one. You know, this conference is not a conference as conferences have been in the past. Not that they have not been good, because they have. Not that deliverance hasn't flowed, because it has. But this is a decisive position of decision.
Yes.
And there's one thing that the Lord has made known unto me. Praise the Lord. That this conference is going to set the path for many of us.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Many of us are going to be set on the decision that we make. This conference should be a conference of repentance.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Did you hear it? Personal, collective, and in harmony with God. Repentance. Not that it's their fault. It's her fault, their fault, his fault, them. Not us, not me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have the judgment of God begins where?
House of
God. Which house we are. Hallelujah. The Bible also says, him that will judge himself. Huh? He will not be judged. So that means there's an authority given to me to judge me. Hello? An authority. Did you hear me, Brother Peter? An authority to give into me. It takes an authority to judge me. Do you hear me? For me to judge me, it takes an authority. I look in the mirror and I see a nice looking fellow. I like him. Hello? I like the way he looks. I like the way he talks. I like the way he walks. I like the things that he does. Everything about him, I'm in harmony with. It's me. Hallelujah. But if there's an authority in me, when I look in the mirror and there should be something of a cry that comes up in my soul. Oh my God, deliver me from my brother. Deliver me from my father. Deliver me from my grandmother. Deliver me from my heritage in the land in which I was born. Hallelujah. I don't know how it is that we as a people can hang on with such tenacity and such determination to the thing of our own human composite makeup. Hallelujah. We hold on to it with such tenacity. Hallelujah. And it's not that I don't appreciate the position or the place that I was born in. But God allowed me to be born in that position. But in that place and in that position, I was born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was born again. Hallelujah. And for me to maintain my individuality, for me to maintain my American heritage is a sin. Hello? It's a sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I have been born again. That means I was born into something, and I'm not something. God met me and born me out of it into something else. He says, all things have become new to him that is in Christ Jesus. How can I hang on to grandma? Hallelujah. And if you don't think the American people are not as much into ancestral worship as some of the other nations, you are mistaken. We cover it up under different things. Hello. Hallelujah. And sometimes I think we're in worse shape because we are such a mixture of nationalities and people. Huh? Some of you only have to deal with one aspect of it. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, your ancestral position of relationship goes back to Adam. Hallelujah! And in that faction, in that position, we have a common denominator, and it's called death and sin. Hallelujah. My God. Halabaka. Hallelujah. When God came down and stirred the people at Babel, it was because they were in rebellion. There wasn't one nation that left Babel that wasn't under rebellion. And because of rebellion, their languages were mixed and scattered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the devil played a trump card. He says, I have to make them remember. Oh, yeah. I have to make them remember from whence they have come. So he developed nations. Yeah. Hello? Why do you think God gives you the Holy Ghost when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Did you ever think about it? Huh? It's a heavenly language. It's the language of the kingdom. And do you know that I believe that as we grow in God, hallelujah, we have the ability to interpret that language. We have an ability to understand that language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just something that is foreign to my ears. I can be in Ethiopia. I can be in Nigeria. I can be in Czech Republic. I can be in Hungary. I can be in the Ukraine. Hallelujah. And a message comes in tongues. I have the ability to interpret if I'm in the Spirit. Hello? And sometimes God even gives the ability to interpret a human language. I remember one time in India, we were sitting around the table and the people were plotting against us. And Brother Dusil heard them in their language. And he answered them. And they were shocked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is language to God? God don't need language. Hello? Did you hear me? God don't need language. God speaks to somebody in America with a dream. Speaks in Czech with a dream. Czech sends dreams to people in Africa. America sends dreams, same thing. Saying the same thing. Hallelujah. Same message. Praise God. God don't need language. Hallelujah. It's we that need language. It's we that insist upon language. It's we that insist upon the human element of our terrain. We want to hold on to it with our fists tight around it. Hallelujah. And that hold will kill you. Did you hear me? That hold will kill you. It will kill you. Hallelujah. Because it is contrary to the adaptability. We think we can take what we are and adapt it in the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. You know, when I came into this message, it was not called Kingdom Message. No, 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 no. It wasn't. It was called Death to Self. Hello? Are you there? And you know, that's not going to draw a lot of people. I mean, you start talking about death to self. You start talking about persecution. You start talking about suffering. You start talking about dying and giving up and expending yourself and expending this and giving here, giving until you got no more to give. And God comes and says, Digver. It's not a very popular message. You got to give up money. You got to give up homes. You got to give up family. You got to give up this. You got to give up that. You got to give up your nationality. Everything. Death to self. It wasn't very popular. So we changed it. We started calling it sons of God. Oh, doesn't that sound much more magnanimous? Huh? Oh, sons of God. Yes, I can be a son. That means I'm with Jesus, ruling and reigning. Somehow or another, we forgot the death to self. But that may be seeming a little presumptuous, so down through the time, we changed it again. And we called it the kingdom message. Now it's ecumenical. It just incorporates everything. It just embraces anything and everything that says God. Oh, there's no need to change. There's no need to deny. There's no need to suffer. There's no need to be in that place. Oh, we can do it a little bit. Of course, that's our Christian responsibility. Huh? Hallelujah. We lost the vision. And we begin to organize it. Mukaba. We begin to organize it. Do you hear me? And begin to bring it under a pastoral spirit.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, I got in trouble in Ethiopia this time. Hallelujah. I begin to talk about two things, pastors and rapture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there wasn't many that got angry with me, but there were some. Hello? Hello? Are you there? You know, a spirit isn't going to walk up and say, I'm your pastor. He's not going to do that. It's going to use your desire. It's going to use your thought and intensity of God for God in a manner that is diametrically and detrimental to your position of coming into a place of qualification. Do you think, you know why we organize? Do you want to know why? We do not believe God. Do you hear me? We don't believe God. We don't believe that He's like the head on the body. How much do you think about your head? Do you ever think about it? Except for maybe when it hurts. Huh? Do you ever think of it? I mean, you go for water, you go for a door, you go here, you go there, you do this, you do that. Do you think about your head? Absolutely not. The head is just functioning the way the head is supposed to be functioning. It sends messages. I don't know. Ask the doctors how they do it. I don't know how it does it. But I know that we are supposed to be like that thing in the natural, in the spirit. What if my shoulder says, well, I want to organize the activity of my arm? Going to get in trouble. What if I want to, my shoulder, right here, you know, this part here. Well, I control the movement of the arm. I control the movement of the elbow. I can even control the movement of the hand. I think I should be something of preeminence. Let's make this the shoulder office. Let's make it the shoulder office. So the shoulder office starts putting out rules. It tells my elbow, you can only bend when I tell you to bend. It tells my wrist, you can only rotate and do what you're supposed to do. And worst of all, it begins to dictate to my hand. My thumb, my fingers, what it is supposed to do. You know, I think they have a disease like that. Don't they have a disease like that? Where some part of the body takes over a position of preeminence over the other part of the body and begins to make demands upon the other parts of the body to fall into a place of subjection to it. Huh? Praise God. Yeah, I think it's called cancer. Hallelujah. There's a change coming, brethren. There's a change coming. And you are the one that's going to decide the change. Hallelujah. This beginning of this year, the Lord spoke to me. He said, this year is the year of great change with great consequence. That means a decision-making time. Do you understand what I'm saying? A decision-making time. This is before the wave of violence went across Africa. This was before the tsunami in Japan. This is before some of the quakes that are happening around the world. You know, when I was in Ethiopia this line, they had a major quake, 7.6. Huh? Not only did they have a major quake, hallelujah, they had a volcano that go off on the day that Hillary Clinton came to Ethiopia. I think that was prophetic, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not only did a volcano, she came in, she's supposed to be there for 2 days, but that night she left. Huh? My God. Hallelujah. You want to turn your Bibles with me, turn them over here to Isaiah. This is not where I was going to start, but this morning as I opened my Bible, this is what popped out and slapped me in the face. Isaiah chapter 26. It says, verse 20, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." How many of you are praying against the iniquity that you see in the earth? How many of you are in a place of travail over the wickedness that you experience in your lives, as well as the lives around you, the lives of your children, the lives of the governments that you are under? How many of you are travailing and asking God to intervene? Hallelujah. Then you are responsible for the Lord coming out of his place. Hello? Did you hear me? You know, the Jews were praying for Jerusalem. In fact, I think they had an expression, "Next year, Jerusalem." Huh? Hallelujah. They didn't know about the Holocaust. Hello? Did you hear me? They didn't know about the Holocaust. They didn't know, which they are now trying, the people are now trying to deny. Huh? Hallelujah. Boy, how? If anybody wants to have any kind of, I suggest you go over to Germany and you walk through those dead spots, and you can hear the souls. Did you hear me? You can hear and sense the spirits of slaughter and murder. Hallelujah. My God. We are a people who are praying about the end time. We are a people that are praying, "Oh God, I want to be in your your first fruits company. I want to be in the two witness company. I want to be among those that walk and talk in the midst of the land." But we don't know what we are praying for. The Bible says great tribulation, as such as the world has never known, hallelujah, is coming upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Brethren, while I was in Sierra Leone, I spent a week there, and it was a marvelous, terrible time. Hallelujah. It was marvelous in the fact of my experience with God, and terrible in the sense of what He was showing me. Hallelujah. But I don't know, maybe you might think me strange or think ill of me, but whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. One night I go to bed, and I get up in the midst of the night, and I open my door, and I go down the stairs, of the house that I am staying in. Hallelujah. But I know that it's really not the house that I'm staying in. But whether I'm asleep or whether I am awake, I have no knowledge. Except I know that I'm walking out the door as this Brother Peter. I'm actually walking down the stairs. Hallelujah. And as I walk in to the living room, there is a council, a strategy room of hell. Hallelujah. And they don't know I'm there. They're not noticing me. I'm walking in and amongst them. I'm looking over their shoulder. I'm listening to their discussions. I am watching them, and I'm looking on the table. And on the table, a huge table, and around the table were not only devils and prince of devils, hallelujah, but there were men, actual men, hallelujah. We have to talk about the spiritual network of hell. Go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Hallelujah. We're not just talking about positions or places. We're talking about a network of hierarchical operation of a government that is called hell. Hallelujah. On the table, right there in front of us. Hallelujah. And they're files. You know what a dossier is? Huh? It's a file folder that has all the information. You know, I thought about you. I did.
Really?
I didn't see your file, but I thought about you. Because he's so private. He wants to make sure that everything's private. You know, just I hope you don't mind. Everything's private. It's like a card player plays his cards, you know. Hallelujah. And yet on this table were file folders, and I knew in and amongst them was my file. Hello? Not only my file, but there were files of governments and lands and peoples and all of the information that was concerning these people that had been compiled for generations. Hallelujah. In these file folders, and they had all of your strengths, all of your weaknesses, both spiritual, physical, economically, in any aspect of your life, they had all your information. And there was a special pile of folders over on the one side of the table, separate from all the other piles. Hallelujah. And I knew it was the Sons of God people, the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. When I was the first thing that overwhelmed me, as I'm sitting there, I said, God, how can we win? I think they know everything. There's nothing hid. There's no part or portion or piece of our being that isn't exposed and that they don't know what to do and how to push the right button or pull the right string. Hallelujah. Some of our streams is our ethnic origin. Some of our is our ancestral origin. Some of our strings are the sin that we are involved in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They have my feelings for my grandchildren. They have my feelings for my kids and my concerns, my fears. Did you? I'm seeing it in the folder on the table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord says to me, you must be hid. Hello? You must be hid. Hid where? In Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not a thing that I go to my closet and I put on a hiding Christ shirt. It's not that. But we think sometimes that's the way it is. We put on our hiding Christ shirt. I'm hidden Christ today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the professionalism of it. It's like an engineer that goes to begin to look at a structure or however, whatever he's engineering, and he looks at it from a particular meticulous perspective. Hallelujah. Everything counts in the construction of it. And if their examination of it was meticulous, and they were discussing strategy. Well, if we do this and we do this and we do this and we do this, then we will push it there, push it here, push it here. And finally we can do this and we can take care of the problem. Huh? Elimination. You ever watch one of those assassination movies? Huh? Huh? You ever watch one of those assassination movies? Huh? Have you ever watched them? The extent, the involvement of planning. Huh? The extent or the involvement of planning. They look at this and they look at this and they look at this. And they match their watches and they set their times and then they incrementally work it out. Hallelujah. And the church is asleep. Just sleeping away. Are working all, are going about their business, doing different things, but not doing what is critical. Do you know how this network works? Do you know you have the concept of the network? Hallelujah. Is a spiritual concept? Did you know that? It's a spiritual concept. I don't understand a lot of it. Please. I'm lucky to get my computer hooked up to the internet. Huh. Hallelujah. Without help. But they understand it. They understand the spiritual principle. Hello? Hello? Huh? They understand. You know, the devil is not omnipresent. So how does he get his information? Huh? Network. You're absolutely right. He gets a network. You know, there's demons all around here. Hallelujah. Right now, there's a message going back to the strategic room. Hallelujah. There's a message going back. We're in trouble. Red alert, red alert, red alert. We need to do something. So you're going to be, the Word of God is hitting you, 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 hitting you. And you walk outside and the devil hits you and you forget the Word of God. Huh? And it's instantaneous. You know, it's amazing. I can type in my little phone. I can type in a text message and press the button, and before I get my finger down to my side, I got a message back. And I'm all the way around the world. It's instantaneous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I was in Ethiopia this last time, Brother Thomas and I made a very interesting discovery. You know, they have these criers, these Muslim people that get up in the morning at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they begin to cry. I woke up one morning at about 2, maybe 3 o'clock, and this guy is chanting. And you know how they modulate, you know, up and down because of their language or something, I don't know. Maybe it's just something to do. But in all of it, I'm just in half asleep and half awake. And I'm listening, and I hear like a telegraph. You know, they're not just crying words to irritate me. And irritate me, it does. You hear me? It's not just words to irritate me. And I can say, oh, why do they do that? Why don't somebody shut them up? Why don't somebody pull the plug? And all the time, they're sending out their little message. Huh? And you know, Brother Thomas says, you know, Brother Bert, I wonder if we could speed up the modulation. He says, I wonder if we speeded up the modulation the way they go up and down. He says, I wonder if it would sound like a fax modem. You know how your modem goes, dee dee doo doo dee dee doo. Huh? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And something on the other end interprets it. And it answers your phone and it takes the fax. Hello? Praise the Lord. Well, we tried it, but he couldn't speed it up fast enough. But you know something? He sped it up fast enough for me. Hallelujah. And they're diligent. Do you hear me? Diligent. And they're not just praying. They are giving instructions to demons and devils. Hello? They're giving instruction to princes and rulers. of wickedness in high places. Men, hallelujah, men who understand the language in the Spirit. Hallelujah, my God, hallelujah. And it's all marshaling and coming to a position or to a place to bring to naught the grace that God has given us in the message that He has given us concerning the end time. Hallelujah. We need to begin to re-examine ourselves. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. I believe that these meetings is going to be like the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Not in the actual sense necessarily, but in the spiritual sense. And the consequences to us in the spiritual sense are going to be much greater than they would be in the natural arena. Hello? Because it says, let every man who partaketh of this communion. Did you hear me? Let him what? Examine himself, that he be found worthy of participating and breaking and the drinking. Hallelujah. This conference is not going to be like other conferences. Hallelujah. There's a mandate in the Spirit, do you hear me? A position, a place of consequence to you and I as individuals. Now, am I trying to scare you? No, I am trying to warn you. Hallelujah. I'm trying to warn you. Did you hear me? I am trying to warn you. It's like my kids get in my car. I turn around and say, are you buckled up? You got your seatbelt on? I'm walking with my children. We're going across the road. I say, now, children, look both ways. Don't run out in the middle of the street. Hello? Hallelujah. I have been commissioned by God. Hallelujah. For whatever reason, for whatever purpose, for this time frame and in this locality, to tell you of the consequences concerning this word that we are pursuing after. This word in the past has been taken and it has been usurped and has been used and brutalized. Hello? Did you hear me? And God has allowed it to happen for whatever reason in the mind of God. But God is not going to allow that type of activity to continue any longer without consequences. Hallelujah. 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 Turn with me to Matthew 24, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. You can read the whole chapter later on if you wish, if you need to. Praise God. You know, I don't run back and forth across the world because I want to. I hate sitting on an airplane. I spend hours sitting on airplanes. I hate it. What do you do for 8 hours? What do you do for 12 hours? Pray, read your Bible to your battery and your computer gives out. Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And yeah, I don't sleep on airplanes. I don't sleep on airplanes. I pass out. Huh? Hallelujah. And the devil is always doing something. He's always doing something. He's sticking me someplace I don't want to be stuck in the middle of a row. You know, you got this priest over here and you got these kids over here and they don't have any discipline and you're in the middle. And they're crawling all over you, kicking you, taking your stuff. Huh? And you try to get a little forceful with them. Now, don't you do that. And the brother goes, looks daggers at you. Huh? Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. But I believe that Jesus Christ is coming to a church without spot or without wrinkle. And I believe that there is a people out there who want to have the position of spotlessness. I believe that there is a people that though they are spotted and they are ragged, and they are halt, they are maimed, they are blind. There is something in their soul that is crying out to the living God to be delivered from their position of bondage. Yes. Hallelujah. Much like the demoniac. Do you know the demoniac had a legion of devils in him? If any man had an excuse to stay away from God, he did. Think about it. Those devils could not keep him from running to the feet of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me? What stops us from coming to the feet of Jesus? It isn't hell. It isn't demons. It isn't devil. It's our own position of self-will. Loose! Our own position of self-will. Do you hear me? Our own position of self-sufficiency. Oh yes, I'm going to be independent. We, the people of the United States, have certain inalienable rights. Huh? Independence! My position of independence is worthless in the sight of God. I must be dependent! I must be weak! Hello? I must be destitute. I must be pressed down. Hello? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know one of the instruments that the devil uses against the church? It's the money in your pocket. And your control over it. Hello? I'm not asking you for an offering. I'm telling you a spiritual position, a principle that the devil uses against you and against me. Hello? Hallelujah. 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 It says that the people of God came and they laid all. Oh, that's Acts. Right, right. All for all possessions and lands and monies at the disciples' feet. That's that dispensation that's been done away with. Done away with. They set a benchmark. They set a benchmark. Hello? They set a benchmark. Hallelujah. That this church has yet to achieve. I was involved in a church many years ago. And they had the message of sonship. And they begin to preach this message of sonship. And they begin to preach the message of the sons of God. And the kingdom of God and ruling and reigning with God. And you know what? That group grew from about 150 to about 10, 12, 15,000 people. And the people began to divest themselves of their goods and bring them to and lay them at the elders' feet. Hallelujah. Now, the elders weren't men of integrity. Hello? Hallelujah. And God dealt with them severely. Every one of them died. Hello? Did you hear me? Every one of them died. Hallelujah. In tragic accidents. Not natural death. Tragic accidents. Hallelujah. So God is capable of dealing with His church. But we have yet to come to that place or to that position by which we can move in that manner under the auspices of the Holy Ghost and do what it is that God is requiring of us. And so the church suffers. The church suffers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's because you don't think you have much doesn't mean that you don't have more to give. Hallelujah. Maybe I will become your enemy for telling you the truth. But at least I will have delivered my hands of your blood. Because money is an issue. Did you hear me? Money is an issue. It's an issue. And we haven't overcome it. We haven't overcome it. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at the 8th verse. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then say they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Did you hear it? Hallelujah. You know, I said I don't like flying. Another reason I don't like flying is because of the instability of the security. It's a joke. If any of you fly very much, you know that their security is a joke. Some places they let me go through with a water bottle. Some places they don't let me go through with a water bottle. And some places they take away my scissors. And some other place they let a knife go through. Over and over again. And the only thing that they can come up with is some way to humiliate you a little more. To deprive you of your humanity and your privacy. Hello? Has nothing to do with your security. The devil is in charge of our security system. How does that make you feel? There was an expression I learned in Nigeria. Oh yes, and you Nigerians will probably just have to forgive me, praise God. He says, who's watching the watchman? Oh yes, I was staying in a house in Lagos. And the watchman was conniving with somebody on the outside to allow that person to come in and break into the house that I was staying in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord showed it to us in a dream one night. And that's the only way that it was exposed. Hello? And he would come in and just rob little things. It wouldn't take big things. He just robs little things. Hallelujah. And you know, you get up sometimes in the morning, you go to look for something, and you said, where did I put that? I thought I put it right there. Right? Have you ever done that? I thought I put it right there, and when you go right there, it's gone. And you start thinking, well, I probably put it somewhere else. Now, where was I? And all the time that you were asleep, some little burglar, we call them cat burglars, when a little burglar snuck in to your bedroom and he took something small but would be enough to give him what he wants for the next day. Hello? That's what devil does to us. You know, he comes in and he steals little things, little bit of peace here, little bit of joy there, little bit of, until one day we find out we are bankrupt. Yeah. Bankrupt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that the devil, boy, I don't know how it is that we put so much trust in the mechanics of the world when it's the devil that's in charge of it. We are supposed to be an authority. We are supposed to be a determining factor concerning the business of God in time. We are dealing with cancers. We are dealing with all kinds of terminal diseases and accidents and the things that are happening in the realm around us. Hallelujah. My God. My God. Hallelujah. We are so far behind the devil in his planning and his strategy. Our little pitiful dreams, we can't even interpret them right. God gives us information. And God shouldn't be speaking to us in parables. Do you understand that? God should be speaking to us plainly. He said that to them, I speak in parables. But you are my disciples. You are my chosen. You are my elect. To you, I will speak plainly. Hallelujah. God should be talking to us plainly. And you know, the interpretation is not open to an individual's perspective. Hello? Are you here? Are you there? Are you there? You're very quiet. I would at least like to hear some groaning. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Do you hear me? Liar, liar. Just get it in your mind. Liar. Devil is a liar. Devil cannot give you anything. He's a liar. He can promise you everything. He can promise you health. He can promise you prosperity. He can promise you. And it's not like the devil comes up and says, I'm the devil and I'm going to give you health. Devil don't come like that. Devil comes in this sense of assurance, in this this arena of comfort and joy and peace, and he drops a little word. Hallelujah. 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 Devil is a liar. Hallelujah. So here we are, Matthew 24. Hallelujah. It says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. You know, when I go out into these places and I begin to minister the word of God, I challenge them. I challenge them. I do. I challenge them. I say, I want you to prove me wrong. Go to God. Talk to God. And if you say God talks to you about something that I'm telling you and it's contrary to what I'm telling you, come talk to me. Challenge me with the word of God that I'm bringing you. Hallelujah. Because I'm not afraid to go before God. Do you hear me? I'm not afraid to go before God and ask God to validate the word that he's giving me to you. Yes. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that we are always in agreement, but we can work through our disagreement in the Spirit of God to find the truth. But there are certain principles in the kingdom of God. There are certain positions of righteousness that I personally am not willing to compromise. Do you hear me? I'm not willing to compromise them because I believe them to be the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that doesn't make me better than you. Has nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because of iniquity shall abound the love of many shall wax cold. Love for what? Love for God. Love for truth. Did you hear me? It's iniquity that's working in our hearts. Iniquity working in our soul. Sons of God's soul. Hello? Sons of God's soul. This word is to the Holy Place Church. Matthew 24 is to the Holy Place Church. Not the outer court. Holy Place Church. We say so much about the outer court. Given to the Gentiles. Given this and this. Trampled underfoot. Heresies and false religion. All of which is true. But the fact of the matter is, the same thing begins to happen in the Holy Place Church. Holy Place Church. We call ourselves body. We are not body. We are not body. We have the theology of body. We have the theology of head and body. We are not body. We are Holy Place Church that has the message of body. You do not come to be body until you start moving up to that golden altar of incense. At that point and that place, and as you begin to do service to that altar, the laying down of the soul. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Two sacrifices. Of preeminent importance. Brazen labor, Jesus did it all for us. Golden altar, it is us that now has to do it for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are looking at a holy place church. I suggest that you go into Malachi. We like to quote Malachi a lot. And we want to use the third chapter. And we want to use the fourth or the fifth verse. Somewhere in there. When it says, he shall come to his temple suddenly. Do you know that whole chapter is an indictment? Huh? Against the Holy Place Church. It's an indictment. They were out of order. They were not doing what they should have been doing. They were doing things they should not have been doing. Hallelujah. And his coming was as judgment. Hallelujah. Huh? They were robbing God. Oh, my God. Robbing God, not just of money, of time, and of their position, their place, and some of the things that they were involved in, was not what God wanted to be done. Hallelujah. It says, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. My God. I don't even know I need to go there. Boy, 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 boy. You know, we can blame a lot of things on church. I'm talking about things that people do. We can blame a lot of things on church. But the Bible tells me that it is not just the church responsibility. There is an individual position of responsibility and accountability. Did you hear me? Accountability. Huh? And there is the position or the place. You know, one of the indictments against the church in Revelation was that they had what? Lost their first love. You know, there's been many messages preached on it. And I'm not going there. But it says that they had lost their first love. They had lost their zeal for God. They had lost their zeal for the revelation of God. They had lost their zeal for the exaltation and the preeminence of God. Do you know that in the, there was a man during the 1906 outpouring, I think it was 1906, he would sit in the pew with a bag. He would sit in the pew with a bag over his head. How many of you have sat in the congregation, including myself, with a bag over my head? Huh? Because I am feeling so ashamed and so unworthy, so totally, absolutely not up to what it was that God was doing or God was moving. Hallelujah! Oh my God. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's something in this heart of mine that needs to be addressed. It needs to come to God. It needs to be put upon the altar. It needs to be sanctified. It needs to sometimes be eradicated. Hallelujah. I heard a testimony of a man who was in one of these countries that I was going to. The communists came in and they had his family down there, and they lined him up, and he was a preacher, and they took a pistol and they put it to his wife's head and they said to him, "Renounce Jesus Christ or we will blow her brains out." Hallelujah. What would you have done, David? Well, he looked at his wife and he says, "I love you." And they blew her brains out. They went to the next child, put the gun to her head and says, "Renounce Jesus Christ." Tears running down the man's face. Tells his daughter, "I love you." Blew her brains out. And the man went right down the row till all of his family was laying dead at his feet. And in the end, they shot him also. But he went into his reward.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, I have laid up for me a crown that is incorruptible and that cannot be taken away from him. I wonder what our crowns are like. I wonder if they are as adorned as Paul's, or even for that matter, for that man. Huh? For the sake of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 13 says that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring is not just lasting. It is lasting, and doing it in the right manner, in the prescribed way, to achieve the desired results that are not yours or mine, but his. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful for the word of truth that you bring. The word says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lord, we pray for ears in the Spirit and a heart that is able to perceive, God, what we hear by the Spirit. We commit the word. Lord, we are asking, seal it in our minds that we lose absolutely nothing. It is critical and essential in this time, Lord, that we be able to hold that which you have delivered unto us. We thank you, O God, for your mercy. Father, for your long suffering where we are concerned individually and collectively. We pray, O God, for the continued overshadowing of your presence in this place and upon this people. Lord, we commit our way into your hand. We believe you that this is the beginning, Father, of much significant spiritual food. And we pray, God, that we might have the capacity, even the song, fill me, Lord, till I want much more. My God, there is a place in the appetite where you can just begin to fill up in the Spirit. Lord, let it be so among us today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the food that you have prepared in the natural. We thank you for the hands that diligently work. Lord, we ask your blessing upon all those that have put their hand to that mealtime plow. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon our food. Bless it, O God. Cleanse it and purify it. Sanctify it to our body. Let our fellowship, Father, be in the Spirit. And let us maintain that attitude and disposition, the quiet meekness in preparation for that which is yet to come. We thank you again, O God, for your infinite mercy, for your loving kindness, Father, for your determination that we should receive all that we are capable of receiving. And we commit our way into your hands today, Lord. Lead us and guide us, cover us and keep us. And be thou glorified in the midst of thy people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.